Mics are live.
I was a little early.
Oh.
It's not 9 yet.
Mics are live.
Good morning. This is a work session on the Roosevelt Gas Plant. It is November 26th at 9 a.m., 2018. This is case number PU-18-277. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Brian Krasius and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Krasius, do you?
I do not.
I'll turn it over to you then,
okay.
Commissioner Fedorchak, since it's your portfolio.
Very good. Okay, so
we had a hearing on this case on September 27th of 2018. And so I just wanted to get that
okay.
on the record.
Yep, and in that hearing, it was pretty straightforward hearing until we got to the part about some of the neighbors and some issues related to people living near the plant. And so there was a number of late filed exhibits, and those all have come in, and I've looked at those. I think I didn't have any questions on any of those late filed exhibits. Do you guys?
No.
Okay, and I also have read the draft order, and a couple weeks ago when it was first circulated, and I think the draft order is pretty solid. The only question that popped up for me was related to the finding of fact number, let's see here.
Commissioner, I'm guessing it's
Do you remember
probably
it, Mitch?
16.
16? We talked about
no,
it.
No, just a minute before we go any further. I'm sorry. I have the proposed order from Highland, and I thought that I had the draft one. But it was this that I had looked at. Is there an extra copy of it here, or do we need to take a break? I know I've had it. It must still be on my desk, but thank
That's
you.
That's the one from last Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I received it, but I thought I had it with me. I don't. So, okay.
So so I think we're probably all focused on number 16. And to that end, Mitch, you probably had the most conversation with the drafting of this. So why don't you go ahead and talk through where we're at with that and how you see things.
Yeah. Well, in the public hearing, the concerns were raised by the neighboring landowners, I think, primarily about noise and light during construction and during operation, you know, and some other things that weren't really within the commission's jurisdiction to address. And as Pat and I worked through it, we kept having some things come up that I guess we got the impression that we wanted to set out separately and address those. So what we did there is we added those concerns that were raised at the hearing and I guess just tried to provide a process and slash conditions that we thought, you know, for purposes of discussion, that the commission may or may not want to include in the order for discussion, or, you know, so we tried to, based on the selection criteria and minimizing those potential effects, we put some conditions in there that we hope would do that and satisfy you as well as hopefully the neighboring landowners.
So it's basically be informed
Yeah, it's basically to have a point of contact if there are problems to address, and then, you know, trying to not direct the construction lights into Mr. Zupke's backyard or you know, have the noise level concerns, you know, that were expressed at the hearing.
Okay. And this, is there any ordering conditions that go along with it?
Yeah, we incorporated.
Added number four there.
Yeah, we incorporated just a broad one down in number four.
Okay. Well, I think that those are all good improvements. And that really kind of addresses the focus of my concerns. Relative to this, and especially in terms of what we have jurisdiction over. So I didn't have any other issues, so I'd be happy to have you guys talk through any of yours if you have some you want to raise.
Clarify for me the pipeline issue that Mr. Helmuth brought up. It wasn't the company ever said this that I recall, but Mr. Helmuth said, by my recollection, something to the effect that the company has stated there's no pipeline activity associated with this, but this pipeline work is being proposed. And so I guess I'm wondering two things. Is that pipeline that apparently is being planned or developed through his property, is that part of this project or not? And is it a gathering line or a transmission line?
Gathering line.
For sure. That's clear.
I thought it was clear. Pat, Sarah, anything else?
It's gathering.
Yeah, and not part of this project, other than the fact that, you know, kind of the whole system is all part of one maybe big project, but it's not part of what we're citing is the gathering line system in that area. I will just note that at least that concern, if you'll see in late filed 12, I think they worked out the concern about surveying for gathering line. But my understanding, and we've double and triple checked it, I can't find anything where that issue with Mr. Helmuth's land and the pipeline that was being surveyed is part of this project that we're evaluating.
Do you have anything? Any other questions or clarifications?
No, I think, Mitch, I think you answered the question I had in terms of number 16. And that was basically that's the extent that we can really take this in terms of jurisdiction.
Yeah, depending on, you know, what other areas you might have a concern, but, you know, from reviewing the testimony and what is our jurisdiction versus what is not, I think we covered it.
Yeah, because really when I, you know, the statement of policy on 4922, the Energy Conversion Transmission Facility Siting Act, produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon, which is the topic at hand, the welfare of the citizens of the state. And I think that's incredibly broad.
Yeah, and you know, I always go with that, plus going to the selection criteria in the administrative code, and that's really broad, too. You know, and that's why we try to address those specific concerns when we can or get more information on them and things like that. In going through the testimony of these two landowners, at least that's where I found the major citing criteria complaints that they had and tried to incorporate those into that finding.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think, you know, looking back, I'm sure the company, the internal communication, my impression was that some were under the impression that the communication had occurred, and then, of course, the landowner said it hadn't. I don't know that it worked its way all the way up to the top of the food chain on the project, so to speak, and I would suspect that's not going to happen again. I would hope not.
Yeah.
After the comments we made. And that's important because, you know, these facilities are going in somebody's backyard. And you can't avoid that, but just to make sure that companies operating in the state are doing a good job in that regard in communicating. So.
And that's, for me, the big concern here is that we don't get in such a rush to get these things done that we forget about the people that are going to be living with them for the long term. And so it's really important, even though there is a huge rush for the industry to get these plants up and running and to get this infrastructure in place, you have to do it right. You have to go through the process, and that's exactly the point of the Siting Act. And so it has to be done with care. And in this case, the contradictory evidence that we got at the hearing was the big concern for me. It's like the company said one thing, and then landowners came right back afterwards and said a total opposite thing. So I think that it's been clarified now with the late filed exhibits, with the commitments that the company made there, and then followed through with the order. So I think, personally, I think I'm ready to go, and the company is eager for a decision. So once we're all at a point of having the issues addressed, then I think we should get a special meeting on the schedule and have this on the agenda.
So does, when we leave the hearing, when we left the hearing in September, we make plans and timing for the company to file late filed exhibits. Short of having the knowledge to look things up in our case, are the people who testified and contradicted things that had been said at the hearing made aware of that, or are they aware of what the company has filed with us and the claims that have been made, that if they wanted to contradict that, have they had an opportunity?
I can't speak to what their knowledge would necessarily be. I do know, I think the thing everybody's talking about contradictory, at least listening to the hearing, was the comments about having communicated with the local landowners.
Right.
Then Mr. Zubke said he hadn't been contacted, and then Mr. Helmuth actually had been, and this was more related to, I don't think this project, but that gathering line had a bunch of missed calls from Highland or their surveyor. So there was kind of two different aspects of that from what I gathered. So the answer to your question is I don't know the capability they would have to follow up on this. I will tell you that I did try to call Mr. Helmuth when we got the late filed exhibits just to see if, you know, just to, I guess, check the veracity because the hearing had been over and just to make sure the contacts had been made. And I contacted Mr. Zubke. I was able to speak with Mr. Zubke, so he at least confirmed comfortably enough for me that the paragraph in late file 12 as it related to him, what was said in there was accurate. Of course, if you look at late file 12, that process itself wasn't completed yet, and I didn't get into that of whether any substance or finality of any private agreement between him and Highland. I did also try to call Mr. Helmuth and three or four times, and it just rang and rang and rang from the number that I had for him. So,
Pat, you and I had a conversation about that in terms of communicating with those two. Did that then, with your conversation with Mitch, is that Mitch then made the calls, or did
yes.
you also attempt to reach out, or are we talking about the same?
We're talking about the same thing, yeah.
Okay.
I did also do some additional, you know, and some of this stuff is outside the record, so we couldn't rely on an AOR, but I did do some additional verification that what was said in late file 12 with respect to Mr. Helmuth, I verified that had occurred.
Mitch, as it relates to property values, I mean, this is something that comes up fairly often in our siting hearings. How does that relate to minimal effects? Because we hear this with wind, you know, to me, it almost seems like a zoning issue, more of a local zoning issue than our big concern, because I don't know how to weigh that in the whole scheme of things.
I think I'll just tell you what I think of it from the legal end. I think what we usually hear in siting hearings is a concern about diminution of property value. We don't actually necessarily get the evidence of that or any proof mm-hmm. of it, you know, to say that they will be diminished. You know, so what we have are, you know, like the complaints like noise, lighting, these things affect my property, and I also think it diminishes the value of my property. So we hear that, but we don't get evidence of it. Now, I have been in case citing cases before where the company will provide, like, studies, you know, that in other jurisdictions wind farms haven't diminished mm-hmm. the value of property next door. That's the rare occasion. You know, so, for instance, in this case, Mr. Zuki talked about diminished property value. You know, it's an interesting case if you think of it legally, you know, because there's an existing non-jurisdictional plant there, and then there's this expansion that's being proposed. I would think it, to the extent there is any diminution in value, the way this commission's jurisdiction would be from the existing plant to mm-hmm. the expansion, which I don't know how much or if or at all whether there would be actually any diminution in value. Along with that, I don't know if the claim for diminution in value is like, I think it's diminished value because of the noise and the lighting, which are things we now have mm-hmm. addressed more specifically in the order. So from a legal perspective, I look at it like, you know, there's really no evidence that the land values will be diminished from the project. Certainly it affects the landowners with, you know, them just being there. So from the legal perspective, that's kind of how I address it in the order. In a broad sense, in the selection criteria, I do think that diminution of value as a consideration for siting can be within your area to address, as long as there's evidence to address it from.
And so we're taking the approach of addressing the issues that affect, that we can, that we have evidence of, and that we can address.
That's what we've tried to do in the proposed order. Yeah. And a lot of that is just,
which should help
determining weight of the evidence, which of course is, you know,
our job. Ultimately. And that also should address or help minimize the effect of the decreased property values if we can address some of those other issues like the lighting and the noise.
I would hope so.
Anything else?
One more question on in terms of the landowners, the concerns getting the information. Were they aware that all these late filed exhibits, et cetera, are available on our website for them to see? In any of the communication, did you mention that to them, Mitch or Pat? Have you had any communication to that?
No, I haven't.
Point. Okay.
One of us could reach out. I had a hard time finding necessarily ways to contact them. They did sign in with email. They provided email addresses at the sign-in sheet, but I didn't necessarily go and email anyone,
mm-hmm.
You know, anything like that. So, I mean.
So they weren't emailed about this particular work session, for example?
I didn't email them about the work session. I mean, part of the issue we have with, like, post-hearing, it's always a tough thing because we have a record we have to base a decision on, and, you know, unless we get some additional direction to investigate or do something further, you know, we don't necessarily go searching for additional information, but we can, but then there's a process to handle that, you know, if we're going to use it and rely on it, too, in the...
So, Pat, they weren't notified via mail, email?
Of the late file exhibits?
No, I think this particular work session.
Of this work session, no.
Great interest to them.
Well, we haven't in the past done that. I mean, it hasn't been our process to keep everybody who testifies at the hearings informed about the next steps. They hear about them. We probably should be more clear about how they can follow it when we're at the hearings.
I would agree with that, except this, at least in my short tenure, but from what I understand, was rather unique to get to the end of the hearing and have something, well, unique in the sense that you had two landowners that...
Well, it's not mean. I mean, we have people show up at the end of hearings all the time and complain about the projects. And so I guess, you know, if we start in one case notifying and you know, emailing out, then we're going to have to just do that.
Well, that's kind of the issue that we run into is, you know, if you kind of pick certain people to email about, then you have this, you know, yeah, like this obligation to notify everybody, whereas, like, you know, if any of those people would call in and say, hey, what's going on in this, they would be informed, hey, you know, there's a work session going up, there's, you can look at the docket online to see the late files. I mean, it's there's no, like, post-hearing notice procedures, and we typically don't, I mean, even with the company, frankly, I mean, we'll respond to them, but we don't affirmatively go out and say this to the company, you know.
Right.
I mean, they ask and we respond. It's similar, like, if Mr. Zupke would call in, he would ask and I would respond, you know.
And I think we were fairly clear in the hearing what we were asking the company to do, and you followed up on them and they did it, you know, in terms, so the concerned landowners heard that and you followed up on it.
And that's kind of all we can do, you know, versus, you know, reopening the hearing and supplementing a record, you
right.
know, that would be the only other option, which is a pretty major undertaking for an already noticed and completed hearing.
And we don't have any requests for that. I mean, I don't know that we've received anything that would suggest we need to do that.
We haven't received anything from the public since the testimony at the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and at this point, if we open it up even for more testimony, I don't know what our authority would be really much beyond what is in number 16 here, mm-hmm. requiring, acknowledging these issues were brought up. The individuals are even mentioned by name in here, or
yes.
is it
mm-hmm.
just that two people? Oh, yeah, I see it in subsection number one. And requiring all reasonable measures be taken to minimize the impacts. Because there's impacts to not building this, too.
Yep.
And so no matter what other testimony, I think we've probably gone about as far as we would be able to go anyway.
I tend to agree with you from a legal perspective.
Okay. I don't have any more issues, Mr. Chairman. Would you guys entertain a final order then if there's no changes?
One more round here to see if there's any more. Or we and if not, we can come back to it too, but do you have any immediate?
No, other than one final comment. I think this would have been wrapped up already had it not been for the two landowners coming forward at the end of the hearing. But it is what it is now. So in terms of moving forward with an order, I'm ready.
I would not be adverse to scheduling a special meeting.
You don't have any more changes to this? You're okay with this order as it is?
I am okay with this order as
okay.
it is. Our next meeting is a week from this Thursday. Not the traditional Wednesday meeting time. I don't know if there's any opportunities in the next couple days with following up on this discussion. Now, I don't know that it would take a very long meeting.
How long would it take you guys to get the order complete?
I think it's done. We just removed the changes.
So could we do it yet today? I mean, could we do it at 2? or 1:30?
No, not this afternoon.
Later this morning? I mean, those arguments are at 2:30, aren't they?
Yes.
Wait, I was on...
they are at 2:30.
Tuesday here.
11:30.
Yeah, I could at 1 or 1:30.
Okay. What would be best for you guys?
Actually, the process for Sarah and I is really usually done at this point, unless Pat needs something, so that
okay. It's just so you guys don't need to...
How much time it would take Pat.
Yeah.
I'd certainly be able to have it at
1:30. Okay. Well, let's do that then. 1:30, special meeting on case number 18-277. And we'll have an order and be good to go. And then I saw that
timing, Commissioner Crashes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You had said in the order that the jurisdictional determination would be moved then.
Yeah, and that was more a matter of, you know, they had requested for an expedited jurisdictional determination for certain moving of tanks at the old plant. But I put it in there, you know, depending on when what happened today and when scheduling occurred, I mean, it would be moot. I mean, I don't think we have to address it if
the order's done. They're good to go regardless, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Pat?
Nope.
Mitch?
Nope. Thank you.
Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We will work with staff to organize a special meeting for this afternoon at 1:30 in this room to address the case PU-18-277. One more time going around. Any questions or comments? With that, this work session is wrapped up. Thank you.